Today's reading is in Mark chapter 16, beginning in verse 1. Mark 16, verse 1. When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices, so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. I'm going to interject a thought here. If you're reading from the ESV, as I am, some manuscripts don't have the section of verses 9 through 20. And so you might be reading from a Bible that does not include that. Mine does. He puts it in brackets along with that note. But if it confuses you, just know that it might be missing. Verse 9. Now when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out 7 demons. She went and told those who had been with him as they mourned and wept. But when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they would not believe it. After these things happened in another form to 2 of them, as they were walking into the country. And they went back and told the rest, but they did not believe them. I think there's a special significance that is placed on these women that came to anoint the body of Jesus with these spices and oils. I think that they stand out as remarkable disciples. Not only because they were at the foot of the cross, not only because they're coming on Sunday morning to take care of the body of Jesus, but because they've been with him for a long time and they've cared for him and they've watched over him. And many times, the ones that provided for the disciples and for Jesus were women like these that would, you know, open their homes to them. They would feed them. They would do a lot of these things that provided for the basic necessities. And as we see them here, I can't help but think about the fact that the other disciples, they're not coming to the tomb, not until these ladies go and tell them that Jesus had risen. They're not, the other disciples, even when these ladies go and tell them that, they're not believing them. And so that there's a special significance that's placed on them in that they got to see this angel and receive this message. And they also see Jesus as he's appeared to them, as we see there in verse 11 and 12. So I think there's a special significance here. And anybody that says that the Bible is against women doesn't notice passages like these, this special emphasis that is placed on them and their role and how much they loved Jesus, how much they cared about him and cared about what he was doing. Now, just to back up a little bit, just remember that Jesus was buried very hastily. The Sabbath was coming up. Remember, it starts at nightfall on Friday evening. So that's when Sabbath starts. So he died on Friday. They very quickly buried him, putting him in the shroud that was brought by Joseph of Arimathea and put in his tomb. And then you had the Sabbath day, which was the second day. And then on the third day, which was Sunday, they come to handle his body in this way that we just read. And that's the third day. He rose on the third day. So really, when you think about it, these women went absolutely as soon as possible. It was very soon after daybreak on Sunday. So the moment, you know, any adherence to the Sabbath was gone, any moment that they could get out and do something, they were doing it. Now, there were certain burial rituals that they are following, but I think that they're going above and beyond as well. There was many things that were used by Joseph when he buried him. But these women felt that there was something needed more. And I think that's an honor that they're placing on Jesus to care for his body in this particular way. And so they go and do these things. And they were worried about this stone. I've seen many artist drawings of what this stone might have been like, but I really have no idea. We know that this tomb was one that was cut. In other words, it was crafted out of, you know, this big area of rock. And so the stone that goes across the door likely would have been crafted as well, crafted in such a way that, yes, it could be moved, but it couldn't be moved easily. And I'm sure you've seen those artist renderings where the stone is perhaps the height of a man. And so we're talking about a stone that's tons. I don't know if it was that big or not. I don't know how big the tombs were. I tend to think, just based on the difficulties of cutting a tomb, that it was probably more like you had to stoop down to go into it. But that's just my own thoughts on the matter. Just take them as they are. And so they're worried about this stone. They show up, but it's already rolled away. And no man rolled it away. It was rolled away by supernatural means. And so they find this young man, as it's described, which is an angel. He's dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. I mean, they're going in there expecting a body, and they find someone in there. So yes, they're going to be alarmed, and probably his appearance was abnormal. In other words, it was obvious that it was not, you know, just a normal, you know, person that just wandered in there and is sitting in there. There was something notable about him, and so that it creates some fear in them. And he tells them, "You seek Jesus of Nazareth. He's not here. He's risen." And that they must go tell the disciples and Peter. I'm not sure why Peter was singled out in this way. Maybe it's because Peter's the one that denied him three times. I don't know. It just is interesting to me. So they leave the tomb, and it says that they were trembling and they were seized with astonishment, and they were very afraid. Verse 8 says they didn't say anything to anyone. I don't really know why they reacted that way. I mean, I know that Mark says that they were afraid, but I'm not sure why they didn't tell anyone, just like they were instructed to do. And so then there is the appearance in verses 9 through 11 that prompts them to, yes, then go tell others about it. While I do wonder a little bit about why they didn't speak to any others about what they'd seen, I have to ask myself, would I have been any different? Would I have reacted in some other way? I don't know. I don't know what I would have done. I don't know what my reaction would have been. I don't know exactly what they saw that created such great fear in them. So perhaps I would react in the same way. But I think that it's still a notable event and a special emphasis that is placed upon these women, something for us to consider today. But you know, Jesus has still risen. Jesus is alive today, sitting at the right hand of God. He's continuing to intercede for us. He is our faithful high priest, and he continues to work on our behalf until the day of judgment comes. And that's something remarkable, something for us to proclaim to others, to tell others about. That's not something that we should be afraid to keep to ourselves. It should be shouted from the rooftops. Let's pray today that we have a deeper faith in God, and that we appreciate that Jesus has risen. He is alive. He is active. And we need to tell others about him. Thank you for listening today. Please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.